Good evening, folks. To the July 12th meeting of the Elected Official Compensation Advisory Committee. I guess the first thing that we need to do is the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The time is 5:30. And Helen, please procedurally correct me.
Not a problem.
So the first item is a roll call. Tom Pierce, mayoral appointee.
Oh, do you want to take a roll call?
I can do that.
Oh, okay.
Chairperson Thomas J. Pierce.
Here, present.
Vice Chairperson Peggy Hazlett.
Here, thank you.
Commissioner Rosina Mota.
Here.
Commissioner Juan Figueroa.
Here.
Commissioner James A. Hall.
Here.
Commissioner Charlene M. Dixon.
Here.
Commissioner Michael Takia.
Here.
Commissioner Gary L. Silvius.
Here.
Also present, we have staff liaison Helen Tran and human resources technician Elizabeth Laura.
And then we move, I suppose, to the public comments. It doesn't appear that we have any public comments. So we now move to approving agenda additions. Are there any agenda additions? Then we move to the consent calendar, where we have two items, A1 minutes and A2 correspondence. And do I read this statement, Helen? I mean, this says that these are enacted by one motion. We don't do these separately, the minutes and the correspondence?
You can ask if there's any anyone who would like to, any questions regarding about the consent items or like to discuss or.
Okay, well, let me read this statement and then you folks can respond. All consent calendar items listed are considered to be routine and will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a commissioner or other interested person so requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent calendar and considered in its normal sequence of the agenda. Information concerning consent calendar items is available for public review. And finally, are there any commissioners who wish to speak to a consent calendar item?
I will. So I'd like to pull item A2 and then make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
The motion is to what?
I'd like to pull item A2 and then the motion is to approve the remainder of the consent calendar.
Second. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion of that? Then we'll call the question of separating these two items. Do we have a vote for approval of that? Everyone that approves, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Then that motion is approved. So we'll look at the minutes separately.
Item A2.
Oh,
so the correspondence. Yes.
Okay, so the minutes, we're fine with the minutes now. Okay?
So Chairman, I'm concerned still, it's going to go back to my concern on this, that we don't have this ninth commissioner. And as we move into our discussion today, there's a lack of representation from that council board, and I just want to put that on record that the decision that we're making you know, may go to a split vote, but more importantly, there's just not representation from the second ward. And I know that there was some due diligence by staff to make sure that this was addressed, but there just seems to be a lack of response from that council member. So I want to just make sure everybody is comfortable as we move forward that we are making a decision on behalf of a constituency that's not represented.
And I'd like to make a comment. I believe Council Member Barrios did identify an applicant, and they're just trying to finalize that applicant's process to get on the agenda for to be appointed. I think it's too late for the next week's agenda. So hopefully by August 1st, council meeting, that the Ward 2 representative will be appointed.
So with that being said, then are we premature in our decision-making process tonight?
You as commissioners don't have to make a decision, but continue to discuss and potentially make recommendations, or just kind of continue that conversation. So then when the Ward 2 commissioner comes on board, loop that person in and get that person caught up on where we are at.
So I'm with Peggy on that. I think it's important to have representation from them.
Too.
For that board to have a voice as well. Absolutely. I think that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable making any big decisions. Of course, we can start laying out the pathway to whatever information we need to start making that decision. But of course, I would agree with you. I wouldn't feel comfortable making any kind of big decision without that representation.
Right, especially knowing that there is a candidate potentially. If Helen were to tell us tonight that, well, there's just nobody, then I would have a different attitude. But
right,
we do have somebody coming on.
One would we definitely know, because that would also affect another item on the agenda as far as the timeline.
Yes.
Right. And that needs to be discussed too. I believe we were supposed to get something by today, but possibly tomorrow we'll know if that process has been completed. And so the August 1st council meeting, this person will be appointed.
Okay. So do we need any specific motion on that?
I think the motion would be just to accept the correspondence, the letter that was mailed out.
Okay. Okay. So while you're moving
to I'll go ahead and motion to accept the correspondence.
I'll second.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Do we have we take a vote, please? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? The next item then is A3, to discuss the timeline of the committee's work. And Helen, I think we have some additional information now just from the previous item. But I know you were going to speak to that just with the dates of the council meetings and how our work might fit in and what the thinking has been there.
Correct. So staff put this together just so the commissioners can understand what that process looks like as far as what recommendations made by the commissioners to the city council, and that there's a first reading and the public hearing of the recommendation. Then there's a second reading, a council action following that, and that the order is inspected 30 days after adoption. And just to note to you that the election is November 6th, but the election would need to be certified, and that would put the elected folks into their seat beginning of December. So knowing that, we just need to be cognizant of the timeline. So say if we were to provide a recommendation in September or September meeting, if we're going to have the appointed for Ward 2 by August 1st and have some meeting established in August, and provide a recommendation in September, we will be good on time. So that, given that, just to have that in mind. Okay.
Is there anyone like to comment about that, or has any other?
Well, I thought that at our last meeting we talked about that, and because we have such a short timeline that we have this appointment, then we have a follow-up on the 23rd or whatever it
right.
is. With the expectation that between now and then we would have a deal or no deal, whatever we're going to have.
So the last meeting when I, you know, I missed the part about the certifying of the election piece, so then that buys a little more time, because I thought we would need to have this prior, you know, right before Election Day. We would have it the additional month in November before it's certified, the election certified for December. So we do have that additional month. So given that, providing a recommendation to council by September will allow that August month. So that gives the additional month. So hopefully everything's, you know, affirmed and there's a decision made for Ward 2 as far as the appointment of the commissioner, August 1st meeting, and that should be, you know, solidified sometime this week or by next week for that part.
So then we're expecting the appointee to be finalized?
August 1st council meeting.
Oh, okay.
We're hoping to get it on this next week's agenda if we had everything in by 5 p.m. today, but that's passed. So hopefully we'll have everything, you know, confirmed for the August 1st meeting, and we can move forward with having the board to vote.
So that would mean that that person would not be able to attend any meeting until after August 1st, correct?
Correct. Any meeting from August 1st and forward, correct. So in the meantime, if there's still discussion that needs to be made from, you know, to review and additional questions as far as what's being put together by staff to the commissioners, that could still be discussed from now until then. So that way the person who is appointed and in for the Ward 2 can be caught up in the first meeting in August, I would say.
I have a question.
Yes.
Would we be able to invite that person as a public member?
Yes, actually. As a public, yes. So then they could listen in and just, yeah. That shouldn't be an issue because it's a public meeting.
It's a public meeting, so.
Right.
So
if we identify that person and that's solid, then we can definitely at least invite that person to come to the meeting so that way he or she can listen in and be caught up in that sense.
And because the chances of the city council not endorsing whomever it is like swimming none.
Right.
So,
right,
yeah,
right.
Bring them to the meeting.
No, thank you for bringing that up, absolutely.
Good point.
So back to this timeline, help me out. I thought we read somewhere either in the bylaws or in the ordinance, when does this compensation go into effect for the council members and the mayor?
When the council members and the mayor are appointed into their new seats after the general election, which is
mm-hmm.
November 6th
mm-hmm.
or 8th, so that would be once the election is certified,
mm-hmm.
which will most likely occur at the beginning of December, that's when it will be effective.
That compensation, it wasn't a January 1st date, or I thought we read somewhere that this went into effect.
Let me double check
okay,
that to be sure, but I know that it has to be when they are certified and appointed to the seat.
Right,
and
so I'm just trying to back from that date.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. If
not a problem.
You know, I'm looking at the council days, we have to have, this has to go to public hearing, has to go to second
right,
reading,
right.
So that I want to make sure that we're in touch, we're tied to whatever the ordinance says, that when this goes into effect, we don't lose that date that we're waiting a whole other year.
And then I can modify
okay.
the timeline for the next
yeah.
meeting, so that way it's more
so
clear.
So we become very hyper aware
right.
that we have to be done with this mid, according to this, we're going to have to be done with this mid-September.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're going to blow these dates out of the water.
Right,
we
so that's where
that.
We need to be cognizant of the timeline.
Okay.
Sense of
so we are under that crunch.
Yes.
I knew it was in here. We read it. We talked about it.
But allow staff
okay.
to reconfirm that, and we will update this timeline and come back next meeting. And
of where our drop-dead date is.
Yes.
We need to be aware this
right.
is drop-dead. We have to make a decision so it can go, you guys can memorialize it into
right.
an ordinance. It can go before the agenda briefing and then get into the agenda.
Right.
Okay.
We'll do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Helen, could you also make sure along those same lines that whatever those dates are and they're consistent with what's stated in the new charter?
Yes, we'll do. Thank you. You're welcome.
I have a question.
Yes.
So we make, this committee comes to a recommendation to go to council, right? Council puts it in the form of an ordinance. How many readings does that take?
Two readings.
So that, hopefully those will both take place before the end of September.
They have to, I think.
That's why we have to be
First reading at least should be in September, then the second reading follow in October, and that's right before the election. So that's really the ultimate goal, to be safe and make sure everything's all done. But we will clarify on your question, Peggy, and to make sure we have it clear.
Because the layer on top of this that we're not addressing, the elephant in the room, is we're in a contentious election. We've got a seated council member challenging the seated mayor in this election, and we've got compensation on the table here. Mm-hmm. So it could get ugly, the council meeting, and go sideways on us completely. They could reject our continue it, and next thing you know, we're, so I want to give them a little bit of flex and time.
Exactly.
And that's ability to puff up and then, get ugly.
And that's why it's important to talk about that. And that's why, to have this on the agenda, to talk about the timeline and really understand and be cognizant about that timeline is important.
And when they read our salary recommendations, they may want to withdraw their candidacy.
Your attitude. Not going to happen.
Any lower than what it is.
Of course not. Which leads me to the question is, I know there exists a map in the city that outlines the geography of each of these wards.
Yes.
Is there a way we could?
Yes, we can make sure that's available in the next meeting on the agenda. Not a problem. It visually helps to give you, the commissioners, an idea of what that, where the wards are sectioned.
It's burdened.
So are we finished with A3?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Then agenda item A4, review additional information survey, requested by the commission from the last meeting. Now, how do members want to proceed with this discussion? Do we just want to recognize anyone who wants to speak at that point in time, or should we start looking, say, at the city council information, and then go around the table if people have ideas about that?
I have a suggestion regarding that. I think we should just put them in order, prioritize them to the least contentious or the least debatable thing to the most difficult. That way we can get a lot of material done. In other words, if we decide that the mayor's salary is what's the least argument about, then we'd start with that, and so on and so forth. I think that'll move things ahead, because if we start with one of the most contentious, then we're going to get bogged down in a lot of other stuff. So I was just thinking, prioritizing. We should. How many salaries are we talking about? I mean, how many?
Well, you have the salaries for the seven council members, and then for the mayor.
The mayor, okay.
That's it. And of course, we're looking at different data for the council and the mayor.
Right.
I'm not sure how we would figure out, just kind of like by a show of hands, who thinks. I just wonder if maybe we should go around the table and let each person take, I don't know, maybe a minute or two to talk about their general feelings, maybe about each of, the council and the mayor. And then at that point, then we'll kind of have a sense of what might be more or less controversial. And then go from there. Does that make sense to people?
Can I make a suggestion?
Uh-huh.
And the last council meeting, that there was additional information. So would you like to hear what we've done with that additional information and bring back? Maybe start there first and then how you want to take that? Mm-hmm. So then that summarize, the data that we've come back with. So at the last commission meeting, one of the information that was requested to have staff look into the median household income. So, just by going with our agenda, the first thing that we have is city council summary. So, to the right of the chart, we did include the median household income. For City San Bernardino, it's a little over $39,000 annually. And if you look at the other cities that we've looked into, they're much, much higher.
Right.
So it just puts things in perspective, doesn't it? And there is a salary and benefits that's in red for City of Chino, because there are some benefits that got updated in the new fiscal year. So that's why we put it marked in red, just to let you know that that changed from the last survey.
And Helen, and all that, the only thing that changed, according to the information you provided, is that on that the employees are on the council's health plans, they're getting an additional $50 a month. So that would be a total of $600 a year.
Right.
So that's the only difference. There's no other difference.
So that's attachment A1 we were looking at. Attachment A2, nothing changed there on the city council salaries. So that was as from last meeting. A3, like Commissioner Pierce just mentioned, it's the employer's health contribution towards them for the health. And there's a $50 increase, so that's marked in red. And to the right, the other additional information was, what are the employer's contribution tied to what group? I mean, that was a question. Mm-hmm. And for the majority part, is tied to the executive or management group. And that's very similar to ours, we're tied to management confidential. So that's pretty consistent.
And Rosina, you brought that point up, didn't
yes.
you?
Oh, okay. Sorry,
does that provide you kind of the information that you were looking for?
It ties into what they're linked to, but I was hoping to see the breakdown of what the executive contribution would be, what the full-time miscellaneous, how it's listed here, only to do it in comparison to.
So to answer that, Commissioner Rosina, if it's tied to this group, their contribution to the left, the amount.
You want to do a comparative to other groups?
In the city, sorry.
In the city.
So you want within the city of 17 what general unit is getting, what mid management's getting, what management's getting, what confidential is the public safety.
Okay.
Only because as somebody with a payroll lens, I was able to see that off at the county side, and you could see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if these representatives are representing a constituency, you want to be able to see
all
what they're, yeah.
We'll come back with that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Sorry. So then we will make sure
that
that's across all the employee groups, not
yes.
just what just tied to.
Okay.
Not a problem. So that's attachment A3. So staff will go come back with that information. So next is the mayor.
Going back to this though, and when we look at the council, city council benefits though. We have additional lines that go past. So in, tell me if I'm incorrect in this. So when we look at the, on attachment A1, in the green column, this is salary and benefits, but this is not inclusive of auto allowance or cell phone allowance. It's not inclusive in that number, or is it?
It is.
So this is,
so the
salary plus benefits equals. So blue plus purple equals green.
Correct.
But it does not include car allowance and phone allowance. That's only shown on attachment A3, correct?
No. The summary page, attachment A1, does encompass the allowance, phone allowance.
Okay.
So we just did it overall. The attachment A3 is just more detailed to give you a finer.
Okay.
Detail as far as what does that
mean? Because this is so small, you can make contacts online.
A lot of information.
I have a really big computer monitor, that's why I'd like to view it there and not at this stage. My eyes are deceiving me here.
Any other questions on City Council?
Are these benefits, are they paid separately in a cash check? Like the cell phone allowance? Do they receive that as a yearly payment if they choose to get that?
As opposed to a reimbursement or
something?
An actual reimbursement.
So for the city council members here for the city center, you do not get an allowance, they just get a city cell phone. But we just looked at that to see what other cities were getting. And there we did not go into further as far as their payroll and what their, or if they're including the payroll, I would imagine so, because typically, say with our allowance, it's included with their pay. So if there is a cell phone allowance, it would be included with the pay.
So the car allowance is a check that's included with their...
With the pay.
With their $50, so they get a check for $775 a month.
Correct.
Is that clear to everyone? Does anybody have any question on that? That's clear, okay. So it's like the $50 a month and the $725 a month. And for that, each council member gets a single check for $775.
A monthly check.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on city council? And then we walk forward to the mayor's. The mayor's, again, similar to what I mentioned about the city council summary, attachment B1, we did include the median household income and the surveyed city for the mayor. And mentioned from the last meeting, we surveyed full-time. Again, they're not in the general area because the general area is mainly part-time, so you can see the cities. One of the additional information that was requested, and this is for the next page, attachment B2, is whether this agency is elected mayor or a council who's rotating to the mayor's seat. So if you look at the column, that's peachy column next to the city's agency column, we did notate if they're an elected mayor or appointed by council on an annual basis rotation. So it's a council member who is assigned as the mayor on a rotational basis. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 cities, and that's City of Corona, City of Redlands, City of Victorville, and City of West Covina that have that rotational council member who is acting as the mayor or assigned to the mayor's role.
And all of those mayors are part-time mayors?
That is correct. Any questions there? Yes?
Currently, because I was trying to do my own research on this, but currently how many directors or heads of departments are in the city? Because I have a list of some that I came up with. What I would like to propose is coming up with a range between what is listed as far as the average between this and whatever the range of some of these other, so that we can start kind of having a basic idea of an apples to apples with other mayors and more kind of like a local comparison as far as other directors or department heads in the city. So you would have like I have some here, like the public works director, the police chief, you have parks and recs director, the city librarian, housing and economic development director. So some of those, we could come up with like some kind of a range between what is listed here and what the average of all those directors are. And then we can maybe start having a conversation between those figures as well.
When you say the directors, are you requesting what are the directors?
Just their base salary. Base salary.
Annual base salary? For the city of San Bernardino? Just for the city of San Bernardino?
Just for the city of San Bernardino, not for other cities.
Did you have a question?
No, I just think it's because you're going to find it's a stunning contrast.
We can provide that information.
Yeah.
And that brings up another question.
And so we're going to provide the range of that director. So yeah. There's the bottom and top range of what that mm-hmm. director role would make.
All of them?
Well,
and then divided by however many there are, and that would just give us
the average. You're asked for the average. Mm-hmm. Okay, not a problem. We can.
And then that can kind of create a range between this average and then that average.
Full-time mayor average versus the director's full-time average.
And that brings up another thing, is are we coming up with just a specific compensation base salary, or are we coming up with a range as well to provide, say, between 120 and 130, or are we coming up with exactly 123, 53, and 80 cents? Is that something that we need
to? I think that's up to the committee about what kind of recommendation to make to the council. But if it would turn out, be a range somehow. I mean, the council is going to have to pass an ordinance about what the salaries are for the council and what the salary is for the mayor. So I think we'll see in our discussions here if in the end, we want to come up with some sort of specific dollar numbers for the council at this point, and similarly for the mayor. Or, you know, currently the mayor's salary is determined by 50% of what a San Bernardino County Superior Court judge makes. So they're the thing. I mean, I think it's up to us to come up with specific recommendations. In the end, the council is just going to take our information as advice. But they are not, they don't have to go along with that. In the end, they'll have to, if they want to change things from what they are now, they'll have to pass an ordinance to that effect.
And that would just be the base salary, because I'm not interested in that.
Correct.
That's just the base salary.
Yes. Noted. Thank you.
Well, the benefits are here in front of us.
In front of us, yes.
We already know what their benefits are because they exist right now, yep. Because they're taking them from that management meeting. So it's not an unknown number.
I have another question. All these different salaries that we have here before us, are any of these from other cities that are coming out of bankruptcy?
No.
Or unique.
Unless we had Stockton.
Charlene, but you know, we raised that issue a little bit last time about why. While we're focusing on the salaries and the benefits, whatever recommendations we come up with, if they were higher amounts of compensation than what exists now, a basic question we had is, can the city afford it? And there, you know, we had some discussion, you know, do we want budget data from other cities? And I think the issue answer was no. We just want to know about our city, and we don't want to know everything about our budget, but we want to know, is the budget balanced? Is there any kind of surplus? How much, if we make recommendations that would involve more money, did the budget people tell us that the city can afford that, and what's the reasoning behind that? And then also, I think we talked briefly about the idea, given the recent financial circumstance, have the city employees been getting any raises? You know, could we possibly be recommending a raise for the mayor or council or something like that, only to find that the employees have not received a raise? I did ask about that a little. We'll need to get official confirmation. My general sense is that the employees in the general union maybe received 2% raises, maybe each of the last 2 years. And then some of those employees, given the particulars of the jobs that they do, were eligible for merit pay increases. But we would have to get all of that confirmed and things like that. But. So we discuss maybe what we think is sensible from what we know. Then we find out, we ask the city to tell us, can, you know, what raises have others gotten, and can the city afford it given its recent financial difficulties, to say the least. So.
And if you don't mind, I can add in regarding about the employee groups. So they're currently, their employee groups contract, the police safety, police, the rank and file, and the police management. Currently, their contract at minimum, they would receive 3.5% increase depending on their survey that we conduct every year with them. And that's a very long survey that we process. If it comes in under 3.5, they'll at least get 3.5%.
That's per year?
Per year. So depending on the survey results, if it comes in higher, they'll get the different 3.5 plus the additional based on the results. So that's police at the safety and management. For the miscellaneous, since 2015, they are receiving 2% COLA annually, effective July 1st of every year through 2020. the contract ends 2020, June 30th, 2020. Their employees are receiving some sort of increases in their salaries. On top of that, employees are also, the miscellaneous, could receive increases through their merit increase system. So the COLA plus the merit increases based on the performance. So there's the up to potentially 5%. There's room in their salary range, depending where they're in their where they're at in their steps of that range. If they're maxed out, then all they can afford to get is the 2% COLA every July 1st, up until the contract ends in June 30th, 2020. I also would like to add that I will be inviting the Director of Finance in the next meeting, July 23rd, to just, you know, be able to answer questions and ease the commissioners as far as will the budget allow it, what questions you may have for in regards to the city's budget, operating budget, and with balance and so forth. So that would be a part of the agenda for the July 23rd meeting.
Question to Helen.
Yes.
Per charter on police and fire, that survey analysis is done per what charter rule?
It is the old charter rule, because at that time the election did not occur yet.
So
when we
what charter
the
is that? The, what's that called?
It's a 186.
What,
section
it is
186.
186.
Yes. Section 186 in the previous charter. So we would keep that process until we agree to a new process, which when the contract is over June 30th, 2020.
Next question I have for you is Tom or Chip, the chairman, somebody brought it up, is that currently the mayor's salary is attached to a charter. The clause in the charter that is, it's 50% of the Superior Court judge's salary. So any other, so a question would be, is there any other charter city that has that same caveat, that the mayor's salary, or are these salaries set by a compensation committee, or with these other charter cities, general cities I'm not so worried about, I'm more concerned with charter cities. With these other charter cities, I know that San Diego, I think, is set with a Superior Court judge's salary. Is that across the board at charter cities, or is that just, is that a...
What we'll do is, that's a very good question. We can look at, get back to you on that and to the commissioners on the next meeting as far as how are the salaries established in these charter cities. So you're just referring to the charter cities for the mayor?
Yeah.
For the mayor's salaries.
Yes. Yeah. Because I know with general law cities, that isn't what the tie is. If it's something that is a common practice, then it may eliminate the discussion for the mayor's salary. If this has been the standardization across the state of California for charter cities, that it's tied to the Superior Court judges, 50% of that, then to the committee, it may not be something we want to touch. Because
right.
If that is, you know, how it's working, that's how it is. They know going in, this is what they're going to get. And unlike this archaic city council that hasn't been touched for how many years did you say last time?
Right.
I think
you said
Chairperson Crowley was up.
And you folks did provide some information that said actually the last increase was in 1955.
Yeah. So
that's the official.
And I think that's
yeah.
why we've been established
yeah.
as this.
Yeah.
But with the mayor's salary, there is a potential for increase as a Superior Court judge's salary increases. The mayor's salary increases as potentially, you know, in correlation to that. So that's just my only thought. You may get to be able to put that aside and say, this has been working, this works well, you know, why play with it?
And do these numbers reflect that ratio?
And that's what I'm curious of. And with these other cities, is that tied to a specific formula based on a correlation to an elected Superior Court position is what I'm thinking.
Or a committee or
right.
just
yeah.
need
how are those determined?
I can refer a little bit to the charter committee that we had, you know, in recent years when we looked into this issue. This was changed to 50% of the Superior Court judge pay. I think it was back in like 2002. Around that time, when Mayor Baez was the mayor, her salary was fixed in the charter, again, in the old charter, at $32,000 at the time. And it was a ridiculously low amount. There was a charter committee that proposed a new charter. The voters did not approve it. Sometime after that, a separate question was put on the ballot about how to determine the mayor's salary in San Bernardino. And that's when it changed to 50% of the superior court judge. I can't remember all the specifics, but my sense is that other cities don't necessarily do it that way. That we're looking around for something that seemed kind of reasonable. And the 50% of the judge's salary came up, and the idea that as that changed, the mayor, and typically would go up, that the mayor would get some sort of raise too. And that way we wouldn't be stuck in a situation where again forever, or seemingly for a very long time, the mayor's salary would be fixed at a particular level. Now, the new charter says we're the ones that make the recommendations. So it doesn't say that the new charter doesn't say 50% of the judge's salary, but the council decided, I believe, to continue that practice until this committee began to do its work and would make a recommendation, and then the council still has to decide. Now, one of the, I think, nice, like, for example, if it just so happened that we decided, well, that 50% is reasonable, and we recommended that to the council, that wouldn't put it in the charter, and that's good, because, you know, because things can change in the future. It would just be by ordinance. They would say, for right now, we're keeping it at 50%, and then if something happens years down the line and that's not a good idea anymore, they can just change that through a new ordinance, as opposed to being forced, if you have it in the charter, the only way it can be changed is through a vote of the people, which is a much more difficult route to go. So anyway, that's just a little history on the way that has worked, as best I know.
Personally, I don't like it. The mayor and the Superior Court judge, they have two different jobs. The mayor's the chief CEO of the entire city, making executive decisions with the help of his council. But I think we ought to do something separate for the mayor, personally.
We're getting real specific here on one specific thing, and I think we should hold off a little, if you don't mind.
Right.
I mean, I think. Yeah. This is a broad question here, because what you said right there, I don't agree with as far as the mayor being the CEO of the city. I don't believe the new charter sets it up that way. We now have a city administrator,
city manager,
who is the chief executive officer. Yeah. And I also think, for that reason also, I've got some questions about why you want to compare it to the department heads within the city for the mayor, because their role of the department head is extremely different than the role of the mayor.
I mean, and my sense is, We're going to have an opportunity for everybody to mention their point of view on all of these issues. Again, I think from what Helen has been doing is just going through that additional information that we requested from the last meeting. So we haven't yet started the discussion about council compensation, mayor's compensation. But I think we all want everybody to be able to say everything that they want and hear what everyone else has to say about both the mayor and the council compensation. So Helen, you have additional information here?
Yes, I do. Any further questions about the city council and the mayor's side benefits that we provide on additional information for, and move on to the assignments? That's the other additional information that was requested. Attachment C1 is the outside boards, commissions, committees, authorities that council members and the mayor are a part of. and provided a chart, we put together a chart for the commissioners. And the other piece of that is what are they assigned to, and if there's compensation, and who points them into that outside board, commissioned committees and authorities. So here they are, Ward 1, Ward 3, Ward 4, Ward 5, Ward 7, and the mayor. Ward 2 and Ward 6 are not part of any boards, commissions, committees, or authorities, so they're not listed here.
Do you know why?
I don't have that answer.
Okay.
They're not part of any boards, outside boards, commissions, committees, and authorities.
Now, in some of these cases, when the council members are mentioned, they're listed as alternates. So they're not necessarily, you know, if we wanted more information, we'd have to find out, you know, do they ever really attend a meeting and represent the city. So when there's an alternate, you know, they get paid, for example, in that first case, $150 a meeting, if they actually attend the meeting, I believe. But if they're just the alternate, and they're the alternate to, say, the mayor, then, you know, only one person gets paid, you know, whoever it is that attends the meeting.
And I should also note that this chart in front of you is slightly updated to the one that was already provided to you previously or agendized, because we didn't have information at that time. So whatever's in red are additional information. So there's mainly more in the mayor's section.
So from what was emailed?
From what was emailed, correct. So the chart in front of you, there should be some red markings on it.
Yes.
So Helen, are you referring to like the lower right-hand corner where it says pending? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Tom, we just handed out.
You could be looking at the new chart that she just handed out to us.
Did you just hand this out?
Right now. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
Yep.
So it's attachment
C1.
Just because we couldn't, you know, confirm all the information at the time when we had to post the agenda. Since then, we were able to gather more information, and we will repost the agenda with this updated information.
Well, I'm sure there'll be discussion of this at some point. Most of these external committees, the mayor is the representative. We'll certainly have an opportunity to talk about these things. You know, there's a section in the charter that says essentially that the mayor is the primary representative on these intergovernmental bodies, and I think there's a long tradition of that. But we'll. You know.
Can I speak to that now? The reason that I requested this information was so that we became aware of, as a full-time mayor, that those duties and responsibilities, because that is a full-time position. It's
right.
Not a part-time position.
That's right.
You know, where if they're not in a retirement kind of situation, and that's why I asked. I know that, you know, Councilmember Barrios has a full-time job. I know that Councilmember Christine has a full-time job, and that means that they may lose compensation from that to attend one of these. These meetings, so some of those go all day long where you're getting $150. But the mayor, as a full-time mayor, on top of that salary that is getting paid by these outside agencies to be a part of all of this, and you add that up, it's a significant amount of money on top of salary of a job that they're supposed to be doing. So it's not double dipping. I'm not using that as strong of a term, but I'm saying they're being compensated to represent us in the role that we've elected them to do. Whereas a part-time city council member, you at times could be either giving up your vacation time at the county.
Mm-hmm. Using your own leave accruals
Exactly, taking away from those benefits that you're earning as an employee because you are representing. And I think that's an important component to this as we move forward in this.
Mm-hmm.
you know, on trying to attract higher level caliber of, and I think that's the whole point of this, is through compensation, you can attract other folks who potentially would not run for, is this being recorded? Other folks who potentially, yes, she knows, who potentially would not run for an elected city council seat because they're like, why would you do it if you're getting paid $50 a month? You know, but if you make it an attractive, because there is this, you're not giving up your vacation time at your job and all these other things, because you're, you know, being properly compensated. That's my attempt, you know. Yes, the mayor appoints all of these, but the mayor also has to sit on all these, because that's his job, or her job, just to sit on all these things. And then you're getting paid to do that, plus being paid by us to be our representative.
Well, I think, you know, that's when we discuss the mayor's compensation. Mm-hmm. That'll be a part of that discussion.
And I think that that's why this was an important piece to ask for, and you know, and to see how it's appointed, because this is not the represent or the appointment process in other cities. You know, sometimes there is some political leveraging that goes on to this, but if you're seeing it's per charter, that the mayor
that's
has to be.
That's an old charter, too.
Oh, okay.
But of course, he's been in that.
Yeah,
in the previous charter, so it just continues from that. So we can know that it's in the previous charter. What would the commissioners like to know what that annual amount points to? Because what we did was we tried to go back the last 12 months, what it looks like, and could be estimated costs. Mm-hmm. We were able to get it quickly, and it was very last, so I didn't have time to kind of get this on here. But I can update this and then have it at the next meeting. But and I'll go over this right now with the commissioners.
The total of the compensation.
By looking at it, and we also asked the question in the last 12 months, what did that equate to? So it could be different every 12 months annually and case by case, because meetings can happen so often and not all the time. So when we had looked at it, and we got this just again last minute, so sorry, it's not on your chart, but we can make sure we update it to include that. Mm-hmm. So Ward 1, we looked at it, it was last 12 months, $2,700 for Ward 1 in the last 12 months. Ward 3, none. Ward 4, $3,225. Ward 5, none. Ward 7, $2,970. And the mayor, $12,725 last 12 months. So again, that can adjust and depending on the year and how many meetings they meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put note take that as estimated last 12 months. So that I think that would be helpful.
There's some relevance to those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, as Peggy's saying, that can be part of the overall discussion of compensation. Relevant information, and people can decide how to assess it.
Thank you for it.
Absolutely. I think the other Chairperson Pierce mentioned about the budget. We did start looking into it with other agencies, but wasn't really, again, when we started looking at it, it was just a lot of work on our end, and so we didn't go into deeper. And I did have a phone discussion with the Commissioner Chairperson that really is just understanding our budget. And then so our invitation to our Director of Finance in the next meeting may be very, you know, useful for the commission to understand how the city's budget status, are we balanced, and those kind of questions that you may have. So we'll invite the Director of Finance in the next meeting. And he actually did confirm that he can attend July 23rd. Okay. I think that's it. Did I miss anything from requests on additional information? Sorry. I
think I
covered everything.
Any questions? I don't have. Does anyone? I guess what I would view as potentially the next step is to start the discussion of what people generally think about the council compensation, maybe first, and then the mayor, or we can reverse it, to just kind of begin to get an idea of the variety of opinions, or whether or not there's a degree of consensus. But I think, you know, we have lots of information now. We asked for additional information, and Helen has provided it. My sense is now we need to get into start discussing that. And of course, it sounds like we don't need to come to any decisions tonight. We're not expecting to do that. But we need to start the process. Does that sound sensible to people? Now, in terms of how to proceed, would you like, for example, to discuss the council first?
That sounds less complicated.
Well, I'm inclined to think maybe the council should be first, because yeah. The council position is kind of complicated. City to city, very complicated. Uh-huh. Mayor's got a lot of intricacies involved.
Okay. And would it make sense simply to go around the table initially and each person take, I don't know, a minute or two for us to get a sense of what someone thinks, and then if we need additional time, we can allot that. But just with each person speaking a minute or two about the council situation, then we'll get a sense of the lay of the land and proceed in whatever way we think is sensible from there.
I was thinking we could even make it more basic by just a simple show of hands on, for instance, how many think that we should increase the wage of the city council members. I mean, if we can start there, then
Gary,
we'll know.
For
$50 a month?
Yeah, exactly. then we all agree that we're on the same page and we're going in the same direction.
Sure. Well, how about if I just put that question out there?
Sure.
Can we have a show of hands for how many people feel like the compensation for the council should increase? Okay, boy, we really made progress on that. Okay.
So that'll clear up a lot of our introductory
okay.
remarks.
Okay, all right. And does it make sense to just sit around the table and I'll go last? And
are you suggesting we come up with figures?
Well, what I'm suggesting is a kind of a minute or two statement so that none of us, so that I'm not taking up 20 minutes of time or something okay. like that. So if each person could just speak for a minute or two, nothing that a person would say would commit them to that, but at least, again, we're getting a little bit of a sense.
They're abrogating their responsibility.
I notice every left is you. I'm a person.
Would people like a water? Would anybody like a pass this around?
We're going to wet our
face.
There we go.
What
okay.
a minute.
Good.
It's a minute.
Hey, do you want one?
Can I make a request to staff, though? I'm a visual person, so as we start to get into the nuts and bolts of this, if there's a whiteboard available.
Oh. Do we have which one?
Not today.
Okay.
At the next meeting, because
we will make that.
Just so that everything that's in my mind gets put out, because
correct.
I think there's a lot of moving numbers here. And if we're only looking at one, and we're not equating these into, and we're, you know, we each can be taking notes, but if you don't get all of that in, and then I drop something into it, so a whiteboard to me, I'm just, you know, I work so much better that way. And for everybody else, if you're talking about something, I'm like, where is that, instead of these beautiful charts that you're doing that I don't want to write on?
Please, write on it.
Yeah. Touch those spots.
Okay, we will make sure we'll have that available next meeting.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be whiteboard. It could just be, you know, the sticky paper I can throw up on the wall. Because I'm not writing on these blue balls on there. The 13-year-old who wants to. Thomas, would you like me to start, Chairman?
Yes, please.
So here, my thought on it is there's a lot of numbers involved in this, is what I'm saying. And when we look at full-time, part-time, or we look at the general law cities comparative to, you know, charter cities, I'm agreeing with Gary. There's really not much difference there when it comes to the city council seat. You know, the only difference I see in cities right now is the difference between whether or not they are ward representative or if they are still an at-large position, which how Ontario has gotten away with that without a lawsuit being filed, I don't quite understand, because it should be board represented. But I know that's caused a lot of friction, a lot of problems. So I don't think that the charter versus the general law really has any impact here. It's what is the work that they're doing, and I think that's why that role and responsibility of commission, additional commissions, that dollar amount comes into play in this. So I think I'm in consensus with everybody else, as long as we can show all the numbers that are inclusive in this. Because when we get down to the specifics and the details of it, $750 or $725 for a car allowance is one of the highest on the page here.
Okay. Are we talking salaries or salaries and benefits both here?
And that's what I want to say. I want to include all those things into it. And I think that's why I think it's important we have a visual of a whiteboard when we start to really break apart these numbers.
Just go around. We're going to talk about anything.
Yep. So
council.
That's where I'm at with it.
Council.
I think we need to make sure we deal with all the numbers with the council. I'm done.
Right.
You said
James?
And the question we're answering?
So this would be about council compensation. So you may want to comment about the salary. You may want to comment also about the benefits. Anything that you want to say about council compensation. Okay. We'll hold the mayor till the next go round.
Well, as we indicated a few moments ago, we all agree that something has to happen. So we're going to work toward that. And as we work toward it, we'll define what's happening. You know, we can say, generally speaking, we want them to have a $1,000 a month pay raise, for example. But we have to then determine what does that look like and how do we actually implement that. And then the other question that I would have to know is the question that was asked a while ago about the budget. Does the city have set aside a sum of money in anticipation of this becoming a reality? And so, because we can, if we say, okay, we want them to have $10,000 a month pay raise, and the budget won't support it, of course, we got to go back to the drawing board. So that would be important for me. And then the other thing to know that on this team, we are going in the same direction. And so I don't know that it'll be all that difficult to come up with some conclusions. I could be naive on that, though I said in many church board meetings that those can become interesting in themselves. But I think that we're in a great position to improve the leadership in our city. And so that's going to be a great opportunity. Okay.
James, thank you. Charlene?
Yes. Well, first of all, I have to say I totally agree with Peggy's statement. It's going to be important to take a look at all of the numbers, so that when we get to juggling them, it'll be kind of easier to see where they all fall. And I do believe that for the service and the work that our council people are providing, they need to have a compensation that would allow them not necessarily have to hold a second job just to do the job. $50 a month, you cannot have another job and be able to do that job. But to do that job well, you almost need to be able to do that job. So I'm thinking that a good look at what we can afford to pay is going to be really crucial, because we need to do a great pay raise.
Michael?
I agree with both of you that we have to deal with all the numbers, but what I think we should do that to facilitate this is deal with the numbers separately first. In other words, let's say we decide that the monthly salary should be somewhere between 800 and 1200. Let's say that would be unreasonable for our city. Now, how does that affect their benefits as they are now? Then we treat that as a separate, should we increase or decrease what their benefits are? That way it will be easier than saying, no, they make too much here, let's make a little less. It's going to get really complicated in terms of numbers very fast. unless we deal with it separately, which doesn't mean you can't then adjust what our salary number is after we've decided that we're gonna cut or increase their benefits. So I'm thinking that, just to facilitate things, if we went right down to the salary, that's a less complicated issue. We can say it should be this and this and this, and now deal with that, and we can adjust that as it goes, but it makes it simpler, and if you think it does make it simpler, I'm certainly open to that, but that's my feeling about proceeding forward.
Gary?
I agree with what I've heard so far, but I mean, we've got to put every item and the whole thing together as compared to other cities, and how San Bernardino is a little bit unique in this situation.
Absolutely. You know, when I was looking at the chart, it's listed as part-time, and I understand why it's on there, but sometimes you have to remember, in order to do this job as a councilman, to be effective, you put in countless hours. Sometimes they're, you know, on call 24/7. If something happens, that's a tragic event, you know, that they respond to it. I know that the times that I occasionally go to the city hall, I would always run into the councilwoman representative of Stewart. She puts in a lot of work, a lot of time. I know that the representative from the fifth ward regularly holds meetings and meets with his constituents on agenda items prior to every meeting. They put in a lot of time. It does require a lot of time. So it's a little misleading to see the part-time, however I understand why it's there, but it is, in order to be effective, they do need to put in a lot of time. I know it's not possible, but I'd like to find out how much in hours they actually put in, where we can kind of figure that out, but I know that's almost impossible to do. But, you know, just in casual conversation, because I go to neighborhood meetings and groups and things like that, there occasionally are some people that do show up and have great ideas and have passion behind what they're saying. And when they're asked, well, why don't you consider there's a lot of reasons why they don't, but the compensation is absolutely wrong, because they have a family to support, or they can't take time away from their job or something like that. So it is something that does keep, you know, unless you're retired or well off or have a business, you're not going to be able to do this. And so I think it is time to start thinking about that there are people in the community that do have great ideas and have the passion to do it, just not able to do it because of the financial reason.
Agreed.
Speaking to what Katie said earlier, we do have a couple of city council members who do work in county positions, and they do take personal leave of full time in order to do their city duties. That being said, taking that into account, you had, Ms. Charlene had mentioned, you know, if you need to do this job in order to do this job, they would not be able to leave their county positions because their $50 a month just isn't going to work. The agreement with everybody saying, yes, obviously they need a pay increase is just one facet of it, but I have a different lens coming from the county perspective. We do a lot of local and regional work, so I am naturally drawn to City of Riverside as a sister city, for lack of a better term, for the local and regional work that we do. And as servant leaders in our community, I would assume that they do a lot of collaborative work with City of Riverside. I'm not fully aware of that. I can tell you that now. But that being said, if they do similar work to our sister city, and we are doing local and regional collaborative work to bring each other up, I would like to maybe put a little more emphasis on City of Riverside as one of our categories as opposed to the other cities, but especially general cities. I think he said she'd like to focus more on charters, and I agree. I'd like to maybe have that lens as well as part of our focus when determining these numbers.
My comments would be that I certainly agree that the salaries have to increase. I did get this agenda on Monday evening and was able to spend quite a bit of time.
Lucky.
looking at this, and I'm not, my specific recommendations I haven't formed yet, but I certainly feel like that the salaries has to be increased, certainly to about the average of what the other cities are getting. You know, there may be a case made for that it should be more than that, but certainly, you know, for the recognition of the work that is done, I think we need to be at least right up near that average salary, which right now I think about $14,366 versus $336 versus $600 a year that's being paid right now. The other thing, another thing related to that, I think it's important with the council, is the fact that receiving $600 a year, it seems like essentially they would get, like if somebody served 8 years on the council, the PERS pension they would get would be essentially nothing. I did a very rough calculation here that for if a council member that served 8 years, two terms, and they get 2% of their annual salary, that's the way PERS works for each year. If you're making $14,000 a year, ballpark this average, then after serving 8 years, you'd be eligible for a PERS pension of $187 a month. Not a ton of money, but you've just done this job that you wanted to do for the city, and you did it for 8 years. But if the same person, if another person was doing the same job in San Bernardino for 8 years, and their PERS pension was based on $600 per year salary, their annual pension would be $8 a month. That's ridiculous. And it's a major, and $187 a month isn't going to make anybody rich, but $8 a month is just bad public policy. So I think that's another reason for raising the salaries. Now, I would like to see, I think generally, that total compensation package for the council members, benefits plus salary, to certainly at least approximate the average that we're seeing in the data here. Now, beyond that, again, that there's other considerations to be made, but that would be kind of my general initial feeling about things. So, now, how are we doing on time here? Are we, I guess what I would like to see, do we have time for everybody to go around and talk for 1 or 2 minutes about the mayor's compensation, just to get to kind of get some initial thoughts on the table, and then they'll be reflected in the minutes, and when we get together for our next meeting, we'll be able to have a sense of what we think as individuals, what everyone else is thinking, at least initially, and then we can go from there. Does it make sense to try to go around? It's now, I have about 6:43 or something like that. People willing to do that?
So
does that sound okay to folks? Okay.
Thomas, so I have questions to what your statements were that I need to have answered, because I come out of the PERS system and I'm no longer in a PERS system. If I jump back in as an elected official for the City of Ontario, for the City of San Bernardino, because I love $50 a month, so I just think that is such a, it does then
add to, because PERS is based on the highest salary I've had throughout my career. So if I extend my years of service by 8 years, I've now added on to my 15 years of service here in the city of San Bernardino at that salary as an assistant to the mayor. Now multiply by a 23 factor, not a 15 factor. Gary, you understand what I'm saying, right? How many years of service did you have before you retired?
18.
Okay, so if you come back and serve more years, you're now at 26.
Yeah, but I couldn't continue to dial my retirement.
Right, so I'm saying that somebody who's younger, you know, who's not able to even opt into my PERS because I haven't hit that threshold yet, you know, it increases my PERS. So even though we're looking at only $50 a month, there's all of these other moving factors. So I would like to have, you know, Director of Finance, I think, would be able to answer some of my questions that I have, because I'm more, even in the mayor's position, Thomas, I am more concerned about attracting potential viable candidates for future elected positions. And right now, I think that's one of our issues. With the mayor's position, I don't have as much of a concern because it's a citywide elected position. You know, and I think I just don't have an issue with on the mayor's side of it. I have much more of an issue with this. But I also, going back to what you said, and I know you want me to talk about the mayor, but I need to have follow-up on questions because I need you guys thinking about these things too. I start to look at the population, is what I start to look at. In a seven-ward city council that you're elected by a minuscule amount of folks, and you're representative of this population divided by seven, that's your responsibility. There's not a city council, very few city council members in my time throughout, and I've lived in the city for decades, that I've seen them go outside of their ward and have more of a holistic view of what's happening in the city. So I'd be curious on what that dollar amount equates to per constituent that they're having to be engaged with. Because I'll guarantee you that they're not engaged with 221,000 people in our city. Nor are those elected officials in the city of Riverside engaged with over 300,000 in their population, right? Although they're making a hell of a lot of money. But I want to know that kind of a number. And so I want us, you know, I know Juan, you're doing research on you, and I've been doing research on my own on this because I want to come at least to be able to defend my position when I start to talk about it. So those are the things that when you guys are talking and bringing forward your things, I'm processing back at you. I'm a very aggressive person. I'm not angry at you. This is how I deal. Okay, so I don't want anyone to get offended when I start to be like, oh, no, this is, none of you to be offended.
No,
I just
no,
come
no.
back really hard because I want us to think, and I want to make sure that when we all walk out of here, that we have come to a consensus that we can be strong and firm in and not say, oh, I didn't agree with her, but she was a bully. I don't bully. I'm not bullying. I just want us all to be like, you know, all of our questions got answered. We come to this in a very righteous way. This is the right thing to do. Now, the mayor's salary, I like the idea. It's tied to a superior court judge position. I was with Vice when that changed in the city charter. I was part of her administration. I think it sets a good precedent. You all may disagree with it, but, you know, I don't, this full-time mayor position, not as this, and I was here when the mayor was the CEO of the city, and trust me, there was days I went down to animal control and had run animal control because that's what she chose me to do that day. So, I mean, it's different now. So I think it's a different vibe of the activity and the role and responsibilities. I just want to make sure all the numbers get put up. You know, the mayor has an additional $12,000 onto that salary, guaranteed annually.
Well, yeah. I think that's all information to be considered.
I think we need to do something for the mayor if we're going to ever be in a position where we can attract real leaders. Not to say that there haven't been real leaders. I think we've had some great mayors. But if we want to continue to upgrade, we have to have an appeal to high-quality leaders who say, I'll move into that neighborhood and I'll represent this city and we'll grow this city and we'll do whatever. But I have another question now that maybe I'll talk with you after we're done, because I forgot all about the city manager. And so I don't understand what the city manager does as opposed to what the mayor does. Do we have two leaders trying to do the same thing?
I talked to the guy in the charter committee because he might know more about
that. No, the city manager runs the day-to-day operation of the city of the city. City manager runs day-to-day operations. Each director-driven department answers to the city manager. City manager answers to the mayor and the common council, along with the chief of police and the fire chief. We're still, that recommendation comes through the mayor's office, approved by the council. The city manager runs day-to-day operations of this city and every director-driven department. That changed with the charter amendment.
I mean, in essence, the...
So the mayor has a real position that is not...
It's not ceremonial. There is a...
Yeah, the mayor has a real position, but in essence, the city manager is the CEO.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of the city, yeah.
And every department head answers to the city manager.
Who is their answer to the mayor and the city council, I suppose.
It serves at the discretion of the city.
Yes.
Who is not an elected official?
No.
So we're not concerned ourselves with his or her salary.
Yeah, we're not concerned about the city manager's salary. That's determined...
But you're just making it here.
By the council.
By the mayor and council.
They're the ones who make the big money anyway, right?
City manager.
More or less. More.
But of course, they, you know, again, their contracts come from the decision made by the council and the mayor.
Actually, the mayor doesn't have a vote, it's the council.
I guess my point was, at the time of 2012, adjustment was made for the mayor, duties were somewhat quite a bit different.
Yes, yes.
Not to say it shouldn't, can't say the same now, but I'm not sure that right now is a bad level.
Right.
Charlene?
I really haven't formed a real opinion on the mayor's salary yet, only because I haven't done that much research on what his position, his duties, his responsibilities are,
mm-hmm.
Compared to what he's getting paid and the other city's jobs and responsibilities that may or may not have city managers that's taking all of the heat and pressure. So I think I want to hold my opinion on that.
Michael?
Yes. The annual salary is under the blue collar, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm leaning toward an increase, and it sounds like I'm hearing that some may be opposed to that. But, and I see how it compares to others. It is more already than the annual salaries of others. But I guess if we are attaching it to a ratio of the Supreme Court judge, then we should take whichever is the higher number. And that's my feeling. So if, let's say, you know, a Superior Court judge makes 220, thousand a year, then we should increase the mayor's salary.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Then we, I think, let's say, for instance, if a Superior Court judge makes 220, then I think we should have it at 110
mm-hmm.
for a mayor. It seems to me that it seems practical, you know, to tie into that.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas if a Superior Court judge makes only 180, I don't know, then it's just about right where it is. So, I mean, that's my feeling so far, that we have more information on that, because they do get a lot of benefits as well, and they have a lot of side income. So, I don't think we're losing qualified candidates due to a lack of salary. It doesn't seem to me. But I think it should be, you know, I mean, if a superintendent of schools gets, you know, 300,000, I mean, it seems to me a mayor should have something that's perhaps not equal, but should reflect a little bit of salaries in these executive positions of ours. So, a general thought.
Gary?
I think the city realized that pretty good example, something to look at in this particular example. They have a very well compensated city manager, and the mayor makes about $80,000 a year. We're not too much different than that we're going to be right now. Our city manager probably doesn't make as much money as theirs does. But then again, they have a lot of responsibilities on the side that we don't have very well. They run the elected utility, which is a pretty big bill.
Yeah, just a clarification, Gary. Are you talking about the city manager or the mayor there?
The mayor of Riverside only needs $82,000.
Both positions.
Okay.
Our mayor versus our city administrator, our city manager, their mayor versus their manager.
Uh-huh.
And their manager is very well compensated. All right, that's okay.
So far, how I'm starting to kind of formulate my thoughts is based on what the charter states as far as that the mayor's role should be considered that of a full-time position and not be interfering or have no other sources interfere with that position.
Right.
And so that's why I'm starting to kind of form my opinion based on full-time positions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I kind of want to have just a good idea of what all these full-time positions are to kind of start coming up with what would actually be a well-compensated full-time position. So that's kind of where I'm approaching the whole thing. And forgive my lack of knowledge on this, but do all judges make the same, or how do they, which judge do they choose, or how?
They'll make the same.
Because if it's going to be 50% up, well, which judge are we going to pick, kind of? So I didn't know.
Yes, it's somebody in county superior court judge.
Okay.
And all superior court judges, they're all state of California appointments.
Yes, and throughout the state.
It is
throughout the state now. Yeah.
My question on that was how many of these charter cities tie it to, and I know San Diego ties it to a superior court judge position. There was a lawsuit that was filed that was in 2016 that was brought forward on that item. So.
I'd be curious to know too that if any of those are tied to any other position other than a judge.
I agree. And that's what
like
one
a
of
city
my questions
manager
was.
Or something
yeah.
like that also.
And that was one of my questions is in these charter cities, what did their charters dictate on how their mayor is compensated? That is one of my questions because I literally just don't have the time right now to pull every single charter for all of these charter cities.
That's one of our follow-ups. So we'll come back next meeting if I have the time.
I work a lot that's too. I don't have time for a lot of this stuff.
My focus has gravitated towards the outside boards, commissions, committees, and authorities. Because the mayor is self-appointed to so many and has directly appointed heavily on some wards and not so much on others, and there are two that are just not represented at all. My question is, can our scope of this decision involve this? Can we take this into account?
We can take the dollar amount to account. We can't take in whether or not. We can't say, hey, we say that you should sit on the IBDA. We can't do that.
Not that part, but can we say that if he is going to self-appoint himself, then he cannot take salary for it?
No, because those salaries are paid by the commissions that he's sitting on, by those other authorities are paying those salaries. That is set across the board for every commissioner that sits on those. Okay, but I say, that's why I asked what were those compensations and what was that annual, because that is part, to me, I call it double dipping. You're being paid by your constituents to represent you as a city at these boards and commissions, and they're paying you, then we need to know if that's all inclusive of your salary as a whole. And most people don't understand that they're paid to sit on those boards and commissions.
But it also depends on the nature of the mayor. I know Pat Morris was ubiquitous in the city, and he took part in so many things and helped out with so many things with, I'm sure, free of charge. Just attending meetings, even with my wife's youth orchestra, go there.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, so that was, you know, and I know he wasn't compensated for any of that. So it has to do with the nature of public service, which you know, I think he was a great public servant.
In my 15 years as assistant to the mayor for under Vice's administration and Morris's administration, I averaged about 12 to 13 hour days.
Yeah.
And I was a salaried employee, and that was because that's the modeling that was representative of the elected official that I represented. So, and you did take that on as that's what you did. We had goals within our own staff that we would be in the office before the mayor's arrived, either one that I worked for, and we would be the last one to leave. We made sure that our mayor left before we did, because we wanted to set that same example that we took public service very seriously. So you're 100% right, Michael. You know, it's not an 8-hour job.
It's not 5 days a week. And even when we went into, what did we do? We changed the hours, and we worked without salary. We still were here 5 days a week for, you know, those hours, even when, you know, everybody was changed the, we were going 36 hours, we were working plus. So, you're right. You know, this doesn't equate, you can't break this per hour.
Right.
You know, I'm just, I know I'm speaking out of turn, Thomas, I apologize. But that's where I'm more concerned of what Rosina said about, you know, let's make sure the budget can support this so that we don't make a recommendation and like we're going to cut Helen's position.
Right.
We want to do that, Helen.
Maybe we can, could we get information, just some maybe general information, like with, you know, the last couple of mayors or whatever. I mean, the charter stipulates that one of the mayor's responsibilities is to represent the city in these intergovernmental matters. My general sense, but I don't know for sure, is that Mayor Baez served on these sorts of boards. I know Pat Morris did. Is this compensation per meeting a new thing? My sense is that it's not.
No, it's not.
So, you know, again, let's get all the information that we can there. Certainly it is a dollar amount that the mayor receives. It sounds like maybe that's been the way it's been done for a long time, or maybe not. Let's find out. And then at least we can kind of put, you know, that's one additional piece of information about that.
So you, Commissioner Pierce, you would like staff to look into the mayor's assignments, points to the boards, commissions, committees, authorities for compensation when this has been going on.
Yes, yeah.
Is beyond this, our current
is
mayor.
It, yeah, is this the way that this has, you know, typically been done?
We can confirm.
Yeah. As far as I agree with Juan's point. I mean, looking at these mayors, these full-time mayors, these comparisons, I think, are very difficult. I mean, differences in population don't mean everything, but my goodness, you know, the difference in the populations for these full-time mayors, the city populations, is just really dramatic. I think in part that makes me think, you know, maybe the way that we're doing it generally by looking at this percentage of the Superior Court judge is kind of not a bad idea. I'm open to changing my mind on this, but looking at the San Diego salary and the Fresno salary and the National City salary, I mean, that they don't work. That from an analytical point of view, I don't feel like I'm getting a lot of value added out of that information. That makes me think, well, the way that it's been done for recent years now, since the charter amendment passed in the early 2000s, of 50% of the judge's salary, that hasn't been, I think, a bad thing. And since at some point the Superior Court judge's salaries get adjusted, then it means that the mayor's salary would get adjusted too, and that gets around this problem of going sometimes for decades. But if you have it in the charter, if you stipulate a dollar amount, then it's just fixed unless the public votes, and that's, I think, not a good way to do things. So I have, you know, I think what comes into my mind is maybe if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Don't fix it. Now, you know, I think maybe we have to think about it more to see whether it's broke or not, but this seems to be like the practice since 2002, as I think given us much more reasonable mayor's salaries than we've had for the 60 or 70 years before that.
Can I make a comment? I just also want to note that the previous charter specified a 50% of the judge's salary, and that our current mayor received the last increase January 1st, 2017, so this year he did not take it because of the new charter change. So we could also come back as far as what is that salary for this year, and is that to put the city of San Diego, because if that's tied to it, I would also confirm that it is kind of the end of increases. And it seems to be working, and if that is working, then continue that. So we can come back to confirm what that salary is this year, what that amount is.
And Helen, you're going to check those other cities?
And we will also check the other cities, how those salaries are determined, whether it's tied to the judge's salary, or is it a committee that made that determination? How was that formulated?
Right. Or if these have COLAs attached to them, or any of those
things. On an annual basis, yes.
Because as you can see, San Diego and San Bernardino are very close in salaries, 100,000 to 25,000. That may be the difference in just that increase from the that the mayor chose not to take in 2017, when the mayor of San Diego took it.
The 18th, January 2018.
Yeah, of 18 is why that's at 100,000.
Right.
That could be that difference.
And that, exactly. So we will confirm that at our next meeting, July 23rd. Did you want me to go over the things that for us to go back and staff to look at and come back to the next meeting? So I have five things, and please jump in if I am missing something. One is the timeline, solidifying those hard dates about when officials understand what is that solid timeline to be cognizant about and be aware that we are on track prior to also check what is the effective date of that new compensation and benefits for the elected official. So that timeline and the effective dates. Two, the director's base salary, the city of San Bernardino's director's base salary and the average of that salary. So just to understand what that looks like for the city of San Bernardino. Three.
May I mention about the timeline for a minute?
Yes.
Are you also going to check the status of an appointee for Ward 2, and whether or not, if there is a person under consideration and the only hang up is getting approved by the council, might that person attend our next meeting? As a member of the public, as Rosina recommended. So if we could
That can be confirmed on that. So timeline plus the Ward 2 appointment to confirm for the next meeting. And also do an invitation for that person to come for that meeting and be aware of what's going on in the status.
And the maps.
That's my number four.
Right, that's good.
So the other is the city wards map and overall picture of, what section off of what's Ward 1 to 7. So for the commission to understand the big picture of the city's representation. The other is the, we already mentioned, the charter's formulation of the mayor's salary, which we mentioned with Jeff's salary, so that's already mentioned earlier. And the mayor's compensation for outside boards commission has this been going prior, and how long for the mayor. Is that everything?
The comparison of the benefits?
Benefits. Thank you. They're all of the employees groups of the city of San Bernardino. What are those amounts on?
Yep.
So city of San Bernardino's the employer contribution towards the health for general unit, no management, medical confidential.
Yeah.
No safety, just the miscellaneous.
Right. I'm surprised what safety is. But am I picking your brain right now? Because I'm looking at who represents us now as a city, and Virginia's retired, Benito's not, Third Ward, he's doing his own thing. fourth ward is retired, fifth ward is employed, sixth ward's employed, seventh ward is retired. So we have a division here. They're getting, Gary's not even saying, do you understand where I'm going? They have benefits within their employers, especially the two county employees. So that benefit package is, in essence, not a value to them because they have, you know, unless they are in, they, in a general unit capacity where they're only getting a $600 a month stipend and they're having to offset it by their own, you know, out of their own pocket. Where that they come into the city as an elected official, as a city council member, and they get the management level, it definitely covers all of their, there's no out-of-pocket cost. Is that where you're going with that, of why you want that number? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious why you were asking that. So now I can, now I understand. Okay, that makes sense. Because if you already have a job and you don't, you have in these, you know, it's kind of weird.
And then there are considerations for the people who do currently have a job, like a couple of them in our department alone, and the benefits for the city outweigh the benefits for the county, so they opt out of the county and they take into consideration the better benefits. And
it's good to know that information, you know.
Helen, did you also mention that the whether or not that 50%?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's part of the mayor's formulation, the salary.
All right. Okay.
Also to confirm what is this year's judge salary, because I know the current mayor did not take that increase because of the new charter.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we've sliced it one direction when we elect the mayor. We talk generally about the mayor and the council salaries and benefits. But would we have a general set of comments regarding things like car allowance? I mean, across for everybody, just, you know, Mary's a good point here as far as health benefits. People who are retired, they generally don't need health benefits, they're on Medicare, or they have, you know, retired teacher or something like that, perhaps, I don't know. But, you know, if they're from the county and they're taking the city's benefits, what's that say? You know, and, you know, things like group general life insurance, accidental death, and dismemberment. Do we need any comments on those? Should we go around the table?
Well, that's,
on that,
that's why I was suggesting we deal with that separately.
Yeah, maybe we should, I'll take a look at that for next time to think and give that some thought.
Yeah,
that's the purpose of that whiteboard.
Yeah.
That's right. And they don't like board, y'all. You think I'm silly, right?
My individual data.
Because, trust me, it'll be colored.
You look at all,
Yes, and give me colored markers.
Colored markers?
Because it has to be. My mind doesn't work with it. No, it's
that wall. Cover the wall.
It's going to be. It's really bad.
Colored markers, multicolored post-its.
It's how it works. It gets the job done, but it's
it
how
does.
It works.
It does.
Okay, folks, anything else there?
Thomas, you do a fantastic job leading this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, how about a motion to adjourn?
To Mr. Chairman, we still have item 8.5.
Oh, we do? I'm sorry. Oh, thank you. Yes, okay.
We've already dealt with that. We already have.
July 23rd.
But that's
right.
Thanks for reiterating.
Oh, okay. More dates.
Our next meeting is July 23rd, Thursday, I believe. Is it Thursday the 23rd?
It is a Monday.
Monday the 23rd. So not next week, the following Monday.
From Monday.
Do we need to be talking about an additional date beyond that now? The next date after the July 23rd meeting? There's a council meeting on August 1st, but we're not going to be making, we don't expect to be making any recommendation at that meeting, correct?
Yes.
Right.
But we are going to invite as the second board member just to listen in.
As a public member to come to the July 23rd meeting, yes?
Yeah.
Do we need to try to set a meeting date now beyond the 23rd? Should we do the next one? How about if we... That's good.
That's why he works. I'll be kidding them.
So we'll be meeting here on the 23rd, Monday. And then the following week, we're beginning to get into August. And the next council meeting is August 15th?
August 1st and August 15th.
August 1st and 15th.
Yes.
Would we be expecting necessarily to be making any recommendation for the August 15th?
Not this time, because we want to confirm the warranty.
Right, and we just couldn't get it onto the agenda on time for the 15th.
Okay.
So if we could meet before that, if we can make a decision and make that recommendation, then when do we have to have it to city clerk's office before we can get agendized?
So in 2 weeks.
Oh. So this would be the first city council meeting after
September 15th.
So if we can meet during this week, we still have ample time to get it onto the agenda for the 5th, which would bode to our timeline. So am I suggesting we meet on the 13th or 14th?
Okay, let me just mention an alternative. So if we're meeting here on the 23rd, then 2 weeks later would be this week.
Right.
Do we want to meet 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later? I'm just wondering if maybe two is better, just in terms of continuity. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I'm just wondering if it's 3 weeks difference, or, you know, are we going to be forgetting about some of this stuff or whatever. I kind of like, you know, we met 2 weeks ago, kind of,
And you would allow the new person, if the board is confirmed on August 1st, to come in always, so that gives ample time for that person to get caught up or have more issues.
Okay, my concern is I'm out here, it's my birthday, so I'm gone this week. Happy birthday to me.
Yes,
this is my city council meeting, so I can't go here. So I need you all to, I would hate to have anybody have to meet on Friday, but I'm,
August 9th.
Well, how about Wednesday, August 8th, or Thursday, August 9th?
I'm not available on either of those days.
Okay.
14th?
Well, then how about that following month? We'll get, you know, the 13th?
The 13th.
Or the 14th, Monday the 13th?
That sounds good.
The 14th works better. Okay, can I have a show of hands for a preference for Monday, August 13th. Okay, and I'm kind of okay with both. Okay?
I can't do the 14th.
You can't do the
14th. No, I have surgery scheduled for the 14th.
Is 13th okay with people then? Rosina, can you do that?
I might be able to do that, yeah. The 14th works better, but I might be able to do
We have time in between if we need to change this, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So for now, tentatively, Monday, August 13th. And of course, before that, we're meeting on Monday the 23rd.
5:30 still works?
Yes.
Okay.
You send out a notice for us?
Yes.
Do you
want to secure the fall in, 2 weeks after the end of August to just be safe, or?
Monday the 27th.
That's the 27th?
That's 27.
We're going to be done on the 13th. Come on.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
We are so going to be done. Have you not seen this group work?
I know, you better.
We are going to be done. Do not make me tell you.
Well, we can cancel that date.
All right.
If we're done on the 13th, and we come
send out an invite so it gets populated into my calendar so my people don't schedule my stuff.
So July 23rd, August 13th, August 27th.
5:30 p.m.
If need be.
Now, do we have any other agenda items? Great. Okay. How about somebody making a motion to adjourn? And a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great.
Thank you.
7:17 of adjournment. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone for buying this, by the way. I get nervous when you take it and don't come at me. You all brought it back.
We promised you that we would bring our binders. I actually made a pit stop at home and said, "Where's that binder?"
Good night.
Walk out with you.
Okay. So, you know.
and we'll make sure that everybody gets that.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is maybe is super deliver. We can call the following day and say, make sure I'm probably not sure today.
And on top of everything else, I thought that the voters would have